Hello, nurturing parents, and welcome to the Nurturing Parent Podcast. We are excited to have you join us because we are celebrating Earth Day today. Well, we're not celebrating, but this episode is going to be in honor of Earth Day that is coming up next Monday, April 22nd. And if you've been a listener of The Nurturing Parent, you might know that this is one of our favorite holidays. This is also one of our favorite seasons, and we are just loving right now. So much so that this morning, I read that it was going to be 75 degrees out, so I was like, we have to walk to school, even though it's almost 2 miles away. And so I made breakfast and I set up my girls' little red wagon and I gave them breakfast on wheels on the way to school. I felt very proud of myself and it was really nice. It was a little outgoing because it's all uphill and I was very tired and I was dripping in sweat, but it was a really good memory. Yes, as you can see, we love this time. Like in the summer, it's a little too hot for me, but right now is perfect. Anyways, back to the episode. Today, we are going to be celebrating Earth Day by talking about how we can help raise stewards of the earth. If you're interested in learning how you can guide your little to becoming a steward of this earth, stay tuned as we dive into that in this week's episode. You ready? Let's get into it.
Hey, Mama. Welcome to the Nurturing Parent Podcast. Do you want to end the constant battles for bath time? Do you find yourself emotionally exhausted at the end of the day? Do you wake up with big hopes for a smooth day of fun with your little ones, only to face an early morning meltdown because you peeled their banana the wrong way?
Silly you.
Silly you.
Hey, I'm Serena. I am a mama of two little ones, and as a new mama, I constantly question myself. I wanted to make sure I was raising respectful kids while also building a strong bond with them. But I discovered that I had to unlearn my ideas that punishment was the way. With Amalisa's encouragement, I've been practicing a respectful and gentle parenting approach, which is strengthening our bond as a family.
And hi, I'm Amalisa. Amma means grandmother in Icelandic. I am a mama and an amma. And I have over 40 years of experience in child care and parent coaching. And I am so excited to share the knowledge I've gained over these years with you.
Together in this podcast, each week we will explore some easy to implement skills you can add to your parenting tool belt to help you create a happy, thriving family.
Hello, hello. All right, the third in our series about the importance of outdoor time, all in honor of Earth Day, which is next Monday. So today we're going to do the third of this series of three, all about the importance of raising stewards of the earth. And of course, as I said last week, Earth Day is April 22nd, and we hope that you are practicing a lot of these things throughout the year, every day. It's not just something to think about once a year. It's something we all need to be thinking about all the time. So, what is a steward? What does this mean, raising stewards of the earth? It's a term that I heard quite a few years ago. I think it was either from David Suzuki, Canadian, huge leader in earth stewarding, earth stewardship, or it might have also been Richard Louvre, who works a lot with the children area of, you know, making sure our children are outdoors and learning about outdoors. But I heard this term many, many years ago, and I love it. So let's look. A steward. We're going to look at what a steward of the earth is and how to get there, how to get our children there. And then some very simple ways, some simple and some a little trickier, but most of them are really simple ways that you can involve even your tiniest toddlers in learning about taking care of our beautiful, beautiful planet. So a steward is someone who takes care of something. generally something we care for, we care about, even we that we love. I looked it up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Stewardship means the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. A connection to something entrusted to our care. So what we want to do is create a connection that our children feel to the earth and to nature around them so that they can grow up wanting to care for it because they care about it, right?
Yeah. What I like about this conversation, before I even learn or we get into what it means and what it looks like, is I just feel like being connected with earth and taking care of the earth is just a characteristic for good, kind, loving human being, adult.
Nice.
I'm not going to lie. If I see somebody throw something on the floor, I'm going to look at you a different way. If
Litter on the ground,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah. The other day when we went to Disney and we were walking through the airport, this lady had a wrapper in her hand. And she had a baby strapped to her chest. And I'm like, oh, looking at the baby. And she just kind of, she's walking through the hallway and just kind of lets go of the wraparound. Like, did you think nobody saw that?
I
It
do
just.
Not understand that mentality at all.
Yeah, just find a garbage, put it in your pocket.
Entitlement, 100%. I'm going to drop this because somebody else is going to pick it up. It's their job. I'm like, what are we even doing? Oh, my goodness. I went across Canada on a road trip with some friends when I was a teenager, and the man who was driving, every time a car ahead of us on the highway would litter out their window, he would honk and honk and honk and honk. I have no idea whether the cars realized what they were being honked at for, but
yeah.
he did it every single time without fail.
Yeah. If I'm
Yeah.
hanging out with somebody and they litter, it's just like, we can't be friends.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because that's one of the things in my list of things that we're going to not do. We're going to look at why. To start us off, I wanted to share this quote that I read on a site from Lesley University in a state somewhere. I don't even know which state, but it says, and I love this sentence, allow children unfettered time in the natural world. This is the best way to raise stewards of the earth. Allow children unfettered time in the natural world. What does unfettered mean? It means free. Free time to explore and to interact with the environment without adult-suggested or structured activities. So forget everything we told you last week, all those fun things. No, don't forget them. Those are really good when you need to inspire the kids to get outside. When you're outside for 6 hours a day, you might want to bring some of those things in. But what I mostly want to encourage you to do is give your children unfettered time, free time, to explore and interact with the natural world around them. One of the first things when I first learned this phrase, raising stewards of the earth, it was in relation to learning the names of the plants around us and, of course, of the animals. But when I learned about it, it was because I was taking kids on walks outside all the time and we were learning the different names of the plants because I love doing that. I know a lot of the plants that grow around me. I'm not going to say I know 100% of them. Nope. But I do know a lot of them. And I'm learning more all the time. And this was so cool. When we learn the name of a plant or the name of an animal or the name of a human, it creates a deeper and more connected personal relationship. That deeper sense of connection. So if there's somebody say you're in a new classroom at school. Okay, let's bring you into university. You're in a new university class. You don't know anybody's names. and somebody trips and falls down and hurts themselves a bit, you might feel a little bit of something for that person. But if that person had been the person sitting beside you and you'd exchanged names, and now you know that that's Sally that just fell and hurt herself, do you feel the difference of what that might bring up for you? It's like, oh, I got to go see if my brand new friend, I just learned her name, but I want to go see if she's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it just happened to be one of the people in your class falling down, there might still be that empathy, but it wouldn't be as pronounced. And this is what I was reading about years ago, where when we teach children the names of the plants that grow around them, it helps them to build a relationship with that plant. And when we know the names of what grows around us, we start to care about them more deeply. We start to feel more connected. I love this piece so much. I also want to say, if you're into learning with your children, which I do encourage you to do, start learning not just the common name, but the scientific or Latin name for those plants and animals, but the plants in particular, because the reason we have Latin names for plants still is because we have, for instance, where I live, Ulnus rubra. It's the common red alder tree. Anywhere in the world that Ulnus rubra grows, the people might call it a different thing if they speak a different language. In their common, like alder is an English word, but if it grows somewhere where they don't speak English, then I would know that it's Ulnus rubra because of the Latin words. So they're global, they're universal. And that's what science uses. That's why they're also called scientific names. Okay. So that's my exciting thing, is that's why we want to start learning the names of the plants around us. So I will take you on some nature walks and post it on our social media in these weeks of this series here. So have a look for those on our Instagram or Facebook. I also want to point out that we can learn a lot from the indigenous peoples of the land that we now live on. There's a lot more of that awareness coming out now in our world. Thankfully, there isn't enough yet, but there's more coming. So that's good. And in the North American Indigenous people, in all the different languages, they would have a word or a phrase that means, translates somehow to, all my relations. And it doesn't just mean their family of aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents. All my relations actually is talking about all the living species on the planet and how we are part of and connected to a much bigger, quote unquote, family. And that's how they lived for thousands of years before we got to this continent of North America. That's a cool thing, I think, to think that we are all connected, all the living species, right? Okay, so what can we do with our teeny tiny toddlers that can encourage them to take care of the planet? Some things are going to be about reducing our personal family footprint. So buying less plastic, you know, some of the real basic things. What was that episode we did with the Earthy Girls? We talked about a lot of this.
Episode 74, detoxing. Awesome. Yeah.
Detoxing our environments, right? Yeah. So some of these things will be about reducing our footprint or our impact, negative impact on the environment. And some of them will be things that we can do to help. So some of the things we can do to help are super easy, and babies can start learning it. When you're carrying your baby around and you go into the washroom and you come out of the washroom, you turn the light off. You go into the bedroom, you turn the light on. You come out of the bedroom and you're carrying your baby, you turn the light off. They're learning already. that it's time to turn the lights off when we're not in the room. That helps the environment. It just uses less resources, right? Turning off our taps while we're brushing our teeth. That's a really basic one that children can learn right as soon as they get teeth and you start brushing their teeth for them. You turn off the tap so the water isn't flowing while you're doing the brushing part. Again, saving the water. Using reusable, refillable water bottles. And I want to say, please stop buying plastic water bottles. We can drink good water out of bottles that we can refill. Using thermos cups when you go for your coffees or your hot chocolates or whatever, right? Instead of the paper cups. Using cloth bags when you go grocery shopping. Now, I know a lot of stores provide a kind of cloth that's made out of recycled plastic. And personally, I really strongly encourage you to use cloth as in cotton or linen or burlap. There's different kinds of bags that are being made out there because the recycled plastic does two things. One, it makes people feel okay about all the plastic they're buying because look, we can recycle it. But I want to say that number two, every time we do something to plastic, like recycle it and make it into quote unquote fabric, it's polluting the world. It's polluting the air and the water just in the creation of it, right?
And
So,
yeah, like we want to teach our kids about natural consequences. And if we're forgetting our reusable bags at home, a natural consequence for us is that we don't get to get a bag and that we just have to bring it in the cart back to our car. If you are driving, if you're walking, then that might be a struggle. But knowing that you have to, skip the bag if you forgot a bag, and you can transfer it to your car, and then from the car you can bring a bag out from your house and bring it in the house, or maybe you make a few trips, or you have your kids help you bring the groceries.
Yes, I love all of that. Natural consequence, you forget your bag, you don't get a bag. And if you're on a walk home, but you have a stroller, well, there's lots of places to tuck things in a stroller. Yeah. I love that. It's a great point. And remember, as always, you are your child's role model. They are learning by watching what you do. So you be the change you want to see in the world. Okay, another few things that we can do is to make sure we are recycling our waste as much as possible. So, lots of places have plastic recycling now, definitely paper and cardboard and tin cans and glass jars and bottles. But more important than recycling is reducing the waste that we bring into our world. So, think about that when you're shopping. If you can buy something in a glass jar, I encourage you to do that rather than in a plastic jar.
Our dollars are our votes.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Okay. And also littering. Littering, outside, indoor littering with your story there. Oh my goodness. But littering harms the environment because those, if they're plastics, they're leaching into the ground or into the water that they're in. The chemicals in the plastic or the chemicals in the paint, the colored cardboard. Like there's so much that can harm the environment and they can also really harm wildlife. Microplastics are a really big problem. When we wear synthetic clothing, you guys, when we wash it in our washing machine and it goes down into the sewer pipes and it goes out to the sea, there are microplastics from synthetic clothing, and microplastics are being found in sea creatures that are struggling to survive. they're also causing a lot of human ailments. So that's just a whole nother thing. What can we do that's positive? Because that all sounds really heavy. plant gardens. If you only have a balcony or a patio, plant a patio pots garden. You can plant flowers that bring you joy. You can plant radishes or carrots or lettuce. You can plant all kinds of things and just get your children digging in the dirt and planting things with you. Planting a tree. If you have any opportunity to plant a tree, either in your own backyard, your front yard, or, you know, sometimes there are programs in your area that are plant a tree and do such and such. You know, it's a whole movement out there. And one of the cool things I learned in my research is that one large tree can produce enough oxygen for 4 people who are normally breathing, not jogging or whatever, but 4 people for a whole day. One large tree.
Incredible.
It's incredible. That just kind of blew my mind. So that's a beautiful thing. Plant a tree. One thing, I'm talking mostly about plants here, but I wanted to touch on animals in nature. Oh, you had something about feeding the birds, feeding the wild.
That's a scary story.
Feeding the wild geese or feeding the ducks, that, but it's a lovely way to get our children out into the world, aware of the animals or the bird life around them. And you have a scary story.
Yeah. So we were bringing bagels and my niece got scared.
Wait. You were bringing bagels to feed the birds?
Oh, yes, to feed the birds.
So you hadn't done your research yet?
So I hadn't done my research.
Okay.
Because we have a nice park at the end of our street and it has a bay. So there's a lot of geese, ducks. And so we brought some bagels without doing our research. and there's some swans. And so when we went to go feed them, my niece had thrown, she got scared and she just chucked the whole half of a bagel. And then I guess a goose got it. And you can see it like stuck in its throat. And it was so sad. And I could not sleep at night. And like we were trying to go help it, but it kept swimming into the water and not wanting to come back. And somebody else went to go try to help, but he kept jumping into the water and then coming out. And you can see him struggling and very sad.
Thank you for sharing that really sad story. And that points to, do your research.
Yeah.
If you have bird life or animal, small animal life in your natural world around you, like that, ducks and geese and swans, they're very common in, you know, ponds or lakes or little areas around, or even in urban areas like where you live. If you have those, please do your research and find what those kinds of birds want to eat and go and purchase those things. They're going to be some kind of seeds that, even if you had torn up the bagels, a lot of people think they can bring bread and tear it up for the birds. They'll gobble it up, but it is really not good for them.
Yeah.
Not good for their digestive systems. They can't, it's cooked food.
Yeah.
They're wild animals, right? Yeah. So do your research, find out what the wildlife in your area want to eat. Also, if you're wanting to feed squirrels or chipmunks or other small animals that live around you, I want you to do your research first, because there is no such thing as a pet that is a wild animal or that was a wild animal. Never, ever, ever bring a wild animal into your home. Even if you found it and it was injured, if you found it and it was a baby that looked like it was all alone, where I live, there are lots of wild deer. And sometimes you will see a tiny little fawn and it looks like it's all alone, But if we go up and touch that fawn, the mother may then reject it because it will smell like human. The mother may be off in the woods trying to lure her baby towards her and keeping herself away to try and bring her baby out of what she considers danger, right? So if you have wild animals around you, big or small, I would love you to do the research and go to a wildlife rehabilitation center and ask the questions. Either look it up online as a first place to look, because really we shouldn't be feeding the squirrels or the chipmunks or the cute little thing. You know, maybe squirrels and chipmunks. I don't know. Ask your wildlife rehabilitation center what they think. Definitely, when you're on the family road trip in the summer and there's bear on the highway, they're not cute and cuddly. They are wild animals that can kill.
They look so cute and cuddly, though.
Yeah, they do. And you see pictures of people feeding the bears out of their car windows where their children are sitting. No, 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 no. So there's a part of conservancy and, you know, caring about and learning about the plants and the animals and all the living species around us. And there is a very big piece of that that needs to be you get yourself educated before you take the bagels to feed the beautiful creatures in the water. Okay. One of the things I want to say, if you haven't heard of it, but if you have any possibility of it, if you're looking for a preschool or a daycare or even, you know, primary school for your children, think about Google search nature school or forest school and see if there's any in your area. That's a really great way to get our children having lots and lots of outdoor time. Which was our episode with Heather Teach Outside?
Episode 85.
85. Yeah, she has a forest school for school age kids in California. And yeah, our episode with her was fascinating. I loved it. Okay. Our most important job is to raise children who care about the earth, the natural environment that we are part of. That's Amma's personal opinion. And it's a very strong opinion that I have. Our most important job is to raise children who care about the earth and the natural environment around us that we are part of. Why is it our most important job? So that we continue to have an earth that we can habitate on.
Yeah, sustainability is big, and we really don't learn a lot about that in school. Like, sustainability is something that gives me anxiety. I don't really know, and I'll be the first to admit, I don't really know how to recycle. I don't know how it all works, and I would like to know. I'd love to be in a class. I think we've mentioned it before, having an episode on how to really recycle. I try to reduce and reuse as much as I can, but recycling, I don't know much about. And yeah, I just feel like we're not taught much about this. And if we want this world to last, we do have to be aware and have that knowledge and be able to sustain this world, because we're a big population and it's a huge change from 100 years ago. So
it really is. Yeah.
Yeah. I get anxiety when I think about what's this world's going to come to and how can it be sustained, and all the garbage and all the fast fashion and
yes,
and microplastics. So this is important. And I think it helps make you a good person, just having that knowledge and the power to make those good decisions.
Mm-hmm. I love that I learn things about you still every week almost, because I didn't know that you didn't know how to recycle. And that would be a great episode to do. I grew up in a family recycling 55 years ago. I remember we were doing recycling, you know, and washing our tin cans and putting them in a bag and rinsing out the plastic and putting, you know, all the things. So that would be a great episode. Let's do it. Okay, so how do we do this most important job when we're raising our children? We give them plenty of unfettered time to play in nature. And we take the time together to observe and research and learn about all the life forms that live around us. Why? Because we love this earth. We love our children. We want them to have a beautiful place to grow up in. And we love you. That's why we share the knowledge.
Before I dive into my gems, I just want to share that we do have previous Earth Day episodes from years before. Last year we had the Earthy Girls. They taught us how to detox our homes. So those will be listed in the show notes. And now for my gems. The first one is going to obviously be that we must give our kids plenty of unfettered time in nature. And when I think back to my childhood memories, those were some of my favorite. It was just like digging in dirt and finding what I could do. Not being given something to do, but actually going out. And that's where you find the adventure. So I love that. And I definitely try to provide it for my kids. They might say that they're bored a lot in the beginning, but then once they get the hang of it, they'll let loose and explore. Number two is that learning names of plants and animals around us can help build a strong relationship. Then they will feel like they have that responsibility. And I'm trying to practice this. I will Google image some seeds or some plants when we find them. The Google Images is a good resource. And then my last gem is going to be that you should definitely do your research before you feed your local wildlife. So if you are going to feed the wildlife, make sure that you do your research before and that you are giving them nutritious foods, because I don't know why we think that bread is so good for ducks. All right, so we'll see you next week for a special episode because it is my birthday. So if you want to hear more about Mama Serena and get to know me a little more, make sure that you tune in next week. Take care.
I want to sing with you. I want to dance with you. I want to laugh with you. Oh, how I love to be with you. Aya, 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 I do. Aya, 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 I do. Such a short time we've been together. Seems like a lifetime or two. Never knew I could love.